Hey! You know, if you're listening to that music, you are listening to a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives. This is Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host as we go into Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. Every edition of Spiritual Perspectives is always about real life from that spiritual perspective. And our guest this morning is an absolute delight. The last time I talked to her was a couple years ago, so, and time has flown by. Our guest is a full-time spiritual practitioner and healer. She was first introduced to these healing concepts in college when she was immediately healed in an emergency, but more than that, found a closeness to that which is God that she'd been searching for, and this radically altered her view of spiritual possibilities. It's amazing how when the real world wakes up, jumps up, and responds, all of a sudden our brain goes, holy cow, that spiritual part of me is real. Through a whole career of secondary teaching and raising five kids, she's relied on these concepts of healing to heal everything from broken bones to contagious stuff. Not only that, but handled robbers to rattlesnakes and found how a practical understanding of God's influence in her life was a deep, deep influence and a deep part of her reality. So everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Suzanne Riedel. Suzanne, this is everybody.
Oh, good morning, everybody.
We're glad to have you here. What a treat.
Oh, delighted.
And you're going to be here in the Bay Area speaking. We'll give those details in a minute. They just played that ad spot a second ago. But you're actually based in Colorado. So I've got a story here, and this is one of those places where I love the story. I'll just read it the way it's written. One example remains poignant is one of your sons broke his wrist after he fell doing the high jump in the eighth grade, which is not how you're supposed to do the high jump. And I love the note that says he had always loved God and he had a conviction that God was his father, mother, and that he could depend on God for anything. He told me, you say, that he prayed right away and the thought that came was this: I know God didn't do this. And your son said he knew too that what God was doing was caring for him in every moment. The healing was quick and natural for him. At no point was he in pain. Of course, because it happened on, you know, athletic competition, you went to see an orthopedic surgeon. The x-ray showed that all the bones and splinters had gone back in place, which the surgeon said it's not quite how doctors do it. He did wear a cast to support it just so he could participate in the track opener. But within 3 weeks, he was out of that and completely healed. Now, that's not possible in reality, Suzanne.
I know. Well, it depends on your definition of reality, obviously. you know, that young man was so clear because our family had seen so many healings over you know, time, and he felt it. He knew it, and he knew that God was right there. And part of the healing, I think, was in his own experience, was that when the thought came to him, I know God didn't do this, he really felt he heard God telling that. And he said the next thought that came was, well, I know God didn't do it, so what did God do? And it was that turning, you know, it was a turning of thought from what seems to be going on in the human experience as reality to what did God do to the real reality, and he did that. He did make that change. He didn't, you know, go round and round about, yeah, but how come it happened, and how come it happened to me, and all that sort of stuff, you know, and how long is it going to take to fix? And it was just an immediate turning to, okay, what did God do here? And he heard it. He heard that sense of, he made me, I'm the perfect image and likeness of God, and there's nothing that's going to take that out of God's hands. It was just a prayer that was very simple but very powerful because it was real.
Okay, you blew right by a phrase that I think is really important, and it's so familiar to you that I think it's just like, of course. You used the phrase of what seems to be going on,
yep,
in a physical reality or whatever. So how are you looking at this, what seems to be going on, versus what's really going on in that perfect image?
You know, it certainly comes from experience, but So where does that first experience come from? You know, it's starting with understanding what God is, and that's involving human reason. It's involving what we have happen in our human experience. If we start with God as an intelligent mind that creates and then loves what he creates because it's so good, because that's what he creates, then is that reality? You know, I began to see, okay, if that's reality, then what I'm just living that God would not cause, and I think that's what our son saw so clearly that day, what God would not cause because it hurts or because it isn't normal and natural, then where did that come from? And I've learned to call it a seeming reality. It does seem very real. And we all have to deal with our human experience. We don't ignore it. You know, you don't ignore the human experience, but you learn to live thought above it to recognize what did God cause here, right in the place of what seems to be. And it's done through life experience, but it's done through prayer.
I like that phrase, you learn to lift thought above it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that again. I really liked that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what always happens. We are lifted. We're always lifted. I think that's the action of turning to a higher understanding of what God really is, of that recognizing what made us loves us, and it isn't leaving. It's thinking us. And, you know, what attracted me to Christian Science, I think, was besides this sense of I wanted to know what God was. I wanted to know what the truth was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a remarkable healing experience that showed that to me in no uncertain terms, in my thought.
Yeah, that's what I had in my notes, is that you didn't really get introduced to this form of thinking and this lifting your thoughts above until you were in college, and there's a sort of a subtle note that says, immediately healed in an emergency. All right, you've got my curiosity up.
Okay. Well, it was certainly a turning point in my life. I was still in college. I was newly married, and my husband was already out of college by that time, and his mother was diagnosed at Mayo Clinic with a rare disease and given less than 2 years to live. There was no cure for it, never, still isn't. Mm. The name is too long for me to remember, much less say.
Right.
But she was told that it was like a rare form of Lou Gehrig's. It was something along those lines. She was told that there was nothing they could do for her. She was already in really bad shape, and there wasn't even any treatment they could give her to help. And in that just, you know, hopeless situation, she turned to Christian Science through a kind of an interesting series of events. But at that time, none of us, neither my husband's family nor mine, you know, I certainly had not heard of Christian Science before, and they had neither. And in the process of being healed, she was completely healed, lived for decades in wonderful health.
Wow.
She, of course, introduced it to my husband. And at that time, she told him not to tell me about it because I would be the last person in the world that would be interested in it. And, yeah, it's funny now, but, you know, then I'm sure it seemed very right, and it probably was very fair to say something like that, because I was pretty hard-nosed. I had looked through all kinds of denominations, through spiritual practices, through philosophic reasoning, even in contact with philosophers. I really was looking.
So you'd been a seeker already, just this pathway hadn't shown up, from philosophical and from religious or spiritual basis.
Exactly, exactly. And it raised in a really tough family and often abusive. And and I left early to get out of it. And so I was looking for better answers, and I knew there was a God. I knew there was a God, but I had pretty much come to the conclusion that what I wanted in knowing God wasn't possible in this human experience. What I wanted was to know directly, not through anybody, or I have to think this, or I have to do that, you know, but I right. wanted it. Direct communication from God.
Right. And don't teach me that what I have to do is practice things by rote out of some book. I want to know I'm really connected up.
Exactly. That I wanted to know God said so, not somebody else, not humans thought so. And I didn't, I'd come to the conclusion that wasn't possible in this life. And but that's what I wanted. And so when this, my husband and I took this vacation, big deal, you know, first big vacation, a young couple, we went with another couple, and one night, it was to New Orleans, long ways from home, and we were in the French Quarter one night, and seeing some show, and afterwards, we're eating food from a street vendor. It was in January, it was really cold. Everybody had different food than I did. As we walked back to the hotel, the other fellow we were with said to me, "Did you hear that kid back there? He said that girl's crazy. That stuff will kill her." And I know I blew it off. I know I didn't take it seriously.
It's New Orleans. You don't take anything serious.
Yeah. Well, some people would say that's not an accurate representation of me, but I didn't that night, and everything seemed fine. The next morning, we were getting ready to go out sightseeing, and just out of the clear blue, all of a sudden, I collapsed the hotel floor, and the symptoms were immediately critical. That's the only way I can describe them. I was paralyzed. I was in extreme pain. I couldn't. Wow. I lost my sight. I was losing all functionality. I couldn't respond. Obviously, my thinking was crystal clear. It's the only thing. Everything else literally felt like it was shutting down. I felt like I was going fast.
And yikes.
And it, my husband, of course, was very frightened and picked up this heap, and he couldn't really get me to respond. He didn't know that my thinking was clear. And he got me to a bed and was trying to get me to respond, couldn't. And he reached over and pulled out of the suitcase the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. It's by Mary Baker Eddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been trying to get me to read it, and I wouldn't. In fact, about a month before that, I'd finally gone to see a practitioner with him, not because I felt they had any answers for me at all, but because I thought it would keep him, it would stop him from pushing, because he was really interested in this. I know, it was pretty arrogant. And the conversation between me and the practitioner was quite arrogant on my part as well, I can remember. I just didn't think anybody else... I just thought this was another one of these human things of this, you got to believe this, you do this, and everything will be okay, you know.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't into it at all. And when he began to read to me, neither one of us actually very quickly after that even remember what he read. You got to understand, the guy was panicked. He was really frightened.
Yeah.
He realized he couldn't leave me, and yet I felt I was going. I just felt, for heaven's sakes, don't leave me. I'm going, and you need to be here, you know. And, he began to read to me something, and I just opened it at random. And
yeah, as if there were such a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And but we don't remember what he read. What I do remember was I heard just plainly, as if someone were sitting next to me on the bed in my thoughts, say, "This is what you've been looking for." And I felt it. I just heard it. I knew it was God. I knew it was. And everything just stopped. There was within moments, every symptom vanished. It was just immediate. And of course I was grateful. I did believe I was going, and my husband was thrilled. He had been extremely frightened as well. But the biggest takeaway for me that day was that I had heard God speak to me. I'd gotten the real deal, and I'd gotten it direct, and that's what I'd been looking for.
Wow.
And I wanted more of it. I wanted that. I'd spent years looking for that, and I knew the Bible pretty well. I had been raised in a denomination that did teach the Bible, certainly historically, not so much this is what it means, but you know, the stories, the Bible characters, particularly the New Testament, the historical background of Paul, and so I knew those things, but I'd never had an experience like this before, and I went back to the Bible and began reading science and health, connecting it to what I knew was in the Bible. And what I started finding was that over and over again, the Bible talks of God as a divine mind, as an intelligence that knows his creation, and communicates. And I started thinking about all of the people in the Bible who heard God speak to them. Well, of course, if he made me, he can communicate with me, and I can hear that. And it began to me to be, our prayer is our approach to God.
Perfect. I'm going to want to come back to that. Suzanne's going to be here in the Bay Area doing a presentation, Security and Living Without Fear. Let's give you the details, and then we'll be right back to talk more with Suzanne Rydell.
Looking for solutions you can wholeheartedly trust? Security and Living Without Fear is the title of a free talk to be given by Suzanne Rydell of Denver, Colorado. A practitioner and teacher of Christian Science Healing, Ms. Rydell will present this talk Saturday, May 14th at 11 a.m. at the Hyatt Summerfield Suites in Pleasant Hill. Come hear examples of God's protection, provision, and healing that transforms lives. Again, that's this Saturday, 11 a.m. at the Hyatt Summerfield Suites.
If you're hearing that music, you're listening to Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm your host, Scout Bartlett, and our guest today is Suzanne Rydell. Suzanne has just described having a literally end-of-life experience and being able to turn that around with a discovery of her own living connection with a spiritual sense of self. And Suzanne, you've used the word several times, the word prayer. And that's one question that we always ask. What do you personally mean when you use the word prayer or you say pray?
Well, to me, it's your approach to God. And if you approached an individual, you would believe that there was a thinking, intelligent, identity there that you were communicating with.
Unless they happen to be in politics.
and
sorry about that.
Now we can't accept that either. but so to me, it's your approach to God has to know. There has to be some sense that there is an intelligent consciousness there that cares about you. And to me, that's just for starters. You approach God, you have to know a little bit about what you're reaching out to. And to me, to think that it's that God is not conscious of you just didn't make any sense to me. And I now know, well, it isn't true. He's very conscious of you, and he does communicate with you. But the communication, when it's initiated by the human heart, we often start with asking, petitioning God to help us. Jesus' Lord's Prayer starts that way, help us. But I think that the more you start with a sense of what you're reaching out to, the more you're going to understand the message you get, and the communication does come from God. We get it in our lives. We get it in all kinds of ways, and millions of people have experienced it. You and I know this. What we have to do is learn to expect it. We have to expect that communication coming back to us, and to me, that prayer is acknowledging. And the more conscious that it is, the better. Acknowledging who you're praying to, what that nature is, and the more you experience, the more you see it's good. It's infinitely good. It is planning for your well-being, your welfare. That it is a mind that is able to bring about the opportunities that you need and the health that you need, and it works in all kinds of ways to help you with your solving relationship problems. That just Jesus' Sermon on the Mount would do that. Um, But the God that I've learned is right there, loving each one of us, does lead our thought. It is, and it speaks directly to consciousness. I've had too many experiences over and over where the very words that I was praying would come right back at me, and there would be a healing answer there. And the healing answer is the proof that human thought needs in order to say, okay, I'm on the right path. Okay, I see that this is right. Now, what I need to understand next? You know, I think the humility to realize who we really are as the child of God, and that He is leading us, and to listen for it.
Yeah, there's a place in here that I always love to remind people that healing is not to be reserved for disease. And the couple of examples we've talked about so far were both physical impairment. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about security and living without fear. So you're talking a level of healing of moving into a sense of secure in a fairly insecure world and living without fear in a fairly fear-preaching world.
Right.
This is a tremendous idea of healing, to heal into a sense of I'm really solid and this is not a dangerous place.
You know, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. Many, many people, their biggest fear is of physical problems. Mm-hmm. Their physical, and so it certainly does speak to that. But it also speaks to our well-being in threatening situations. There's a story of being held at gunpoint in a robbery where my life was threatened repeatedly, and it was healed in a very remarkable way. That's a part of the lecture, and you can extend that to any threatening situation, terrorism or whatever. There's also a section in the lecture that addresses the healing of, and I call it healing, of financial insecurity, which is a huge looming problem as well. So it really looks at the whole realm of how many ways can we feel insecure? Well, in that many ways, God can show you His security. And so it's the address of fear in the talk is powerful, because that's where we think we're at somehow outside of God's care. We're somehow helpless, you know, and things are just at the mercy of circumstance, or at the mercy of threatening criminality or terrorist thought or whatever. And it's learning to put that down. You know, I've had some really interesting experiences with this. A couple of them I do relay in that lecture, but one of them that happened really early on in my experience, we lived in Texas on a ranch, and I had a brand new baby at the time, the fifth, and I think at that point I had four children at home, and one was in school.
Yikes!
Right. And one of them had gone with a hired horseman. And so I had three, the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old were in the front yard, and it was a gorgeous place, old home with, you know, huge big oak trees and pretty front yard. But the old house had a big front porch, and it had a lot of stuff on it, and you could see through it, but the front door we locked, and we went through the side door all the time so the kids wouldn't pull things off on them. And one day I'm feeding the baby, and I hear screaming in the front yard. And I looked. I could look out the windows, and I could see. Now this is Texas hill country, and I could see a very aggressive rattlesnake coming towards the, not sidewinding, but you know, effectively coming towards the 2-year-old who was sitting in the sandbox under those trees playing, and she didn't see it, but the 4-year-old was standing beside with the rattlesnake in between he and the baby, who was seeing it and was screaming, absolutely terrified. Now, this was rattlesnake country. We were every one of us had experiences with rattlesnakes there, and we'd never seen one in that yard before. I mean, it was, you know, but there it was, and I couldn't even get out that door. The door was locked, and the key wasn't there. I put the baby on the floor, and I had to run to the side door, which required me to lose, you know, vision. I couldn't see what was going on. All I could do was hear this screaming,
mm-hmm.
and what do you do? You know, you run, but the only thing I could do was turn to God and absolutely put down that fear. I had to know right then and there, fear, and I did it, fear has no control over any member of this family. And I'd learned that fear is the biggest problem, that when you put the fear out, you can hear what the next steps are. But if there's a time when something can happen and God's not in control, then I guess you have a legitimate right to be afraid. But I learned that was not the way you heal anything, to see that and believe that.
I need to back that up and run that by again. I really okay. want to hear that. When you think, the piece I caught was when you fear that God is not in control?
Yeah, yeah. It's that's what fear always says.
And that comes so naturally.
Yeah, it always says that God is not in control, therefore you have a lot to be afraid of. That's to me what fear is the argument that God is not in control.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that, and so I was literally shouting at it as I was running to the door, you cannot control any member of this family. This is not of God. As I got out the door and ran around, that four-year-old had the baby there at the porch. He had controlled his fear enough, and he had been absolutely terrified, ran between that snake who was rapidly heading for her and had drug her around to the porch. I was so overwhelmed. I was sobbing, you know. I said, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. You know, because I could see how terrified he'd been, and he was putting himself at risk as well as seeing her at risk.
Yeah.
And I just said, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. What made you do that?" And he stopped and looked at me with big eyes and said, "Well, God told me to." And you know, I knew that it was the challenging of fear for any member of the family. That's what God gave. He gave that idea. That I didn't come up with that humanly. I knew it. I responded to it. But he gave that idea. No fear can touch any member of this family. It was powerful enough to help that child overcome his fear and to do what he needed to do.
Perfect. That's so wonderful. Suzanne's going to be here in the Bay Area. And I have a note here that says that the sponsoring church, the First Church of Christian Science, is actually sponsoring Suzanne's talk as a gift to the community, so there's no charge for that. Suzanne, this was not nearly enough time. I wish we had an hour and a half to chat, but I just want to thank you so much for being with us and let you know that you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives. This is Scout Bartlett, your host. I'm glad you joined us. We'll have the recording of this up on the website, lifeinsights.net, but here's the information to attend Suzanne's event. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Looking for solutions you can wholeheartedly trust? Security and Living Without Fear is the title of a free talk to be given by Suzanne Rydell of Denver, Colorado. A practitioner and teacher of Christian Science healing, Ms. Rydell will present this talk Saturday, May 14th at 11 a.m. at the Hyatt Summerfield Suites in Pleasant Hill. Come hear examples of God's protection, provision, and healing that transforms lives. Again, that's this Saturday, 11 a.m. at the Hyatt Summerfield Suites. Get on your spiritual path at the Spiritual Healing Center. Meditate, feel great, don't hesitate. Join Carol Eccles every Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Spiritual Healing Center. Expect